Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
episode 2 of a Wikipedia reading of Zanzibar. So Zanzibar is half of Tanzania, and Zan means black, and it was the Arab Empire's possession for black slaves that were coming through, and we're reading through the second section of it. Now the sultans, these are the Arab rulers, developed an economy of trade and cash crops in the Zanzibar archipelago with the ruling Arab elite. Ivory was the major trade good. The archipelago, sometimes referred to by locals as a spice island, was famous worldwide for the cloves and other spices, and plantations were developed to grow them. The archipelago's commerce gradually fell into the hands of the traders from the Indian subcontinent, whom Said bin Sultan encouraged to settle in the islands. Well, it's just trying to do it. During the 14th year of reign of Sultan, Majid bin Said consolidated his power around the Arab slave trade. Malindi, in Zanzibar City, was the Swahili coast's main port for the slave trade with the Middle East. In the mid-19th century, as many as 50,000 slaves passed annually through the port, so that's a fair number of people. Here's a quote. Many were captors of the Tipu Tip, a notorious Arab slave trader and ivory merchant. Tip led a huge expedition, some 4,000 strong, into the African interior, where chiefs sold him their villages for the next to nothing. These Tip were used to caravan ivory back to Zanzibar, then sold them in the slave market for large profits. In time, Tip made one of the wealthiest men in Zanzibar, the owner of multiple plantations and 10,000 slaves. Isn't that the Tib? Nice sounding man. One of Majid's brothers, Bargish bin Said, succeeded him and was forced to abolish the slave trade in Zanzibar archipelago by the British. He largely developed Uyagaz infrastructure. Another brother, Majid Kaifib bin Said, was the third Sultan of Zanzibar and further the relationship with the British, which led to the archipelago's progress towards abolishing slavery. At least the British were trying to do it. So it's not what time that would be. Let's try to see what the years it would be. The control of Zanzibar eventually came into the hands of the British Empire. Part of the political impetus for this was the 19th century movement for the abolition of the slave trade. Zanzibar was the centre of the Arab slave trade, and in 1822, the British consul in Muscat put pressure on the Sultan Said to end the slave trade. The first, they didn't end it to 1970, you know, bloody hell, in actual, in UAE. UAE, an amazing place. They wanted to get rid of slave, child riding camels, so they've got robotic camel riders, sort of like, you know, you could use robots for surgery and all this type of stuff. It's pretty amazing. It's not that the camel would, you know, I don't know, it's hard to believe. The first of a series of anti-slavery treaties with Britain was signed by Said, which permitted slave transport south and east of the Moresby Line, from Cape Dew in Africa in Dewhead to on the coast of India. Said lost the revenue he would have received as a duty on all slaves sold, so he made up for the shortfall. He encouraged the development of the slave trade in Zanzibar itself. Said came under increasing pressure from the British to abolish slavery, and in 1842 the British government told the Zanzibari ruler it wished to abolish the slave trade in Arabia, Oman, Persia and the Red Sea. Ships from the Royal Navy were employed to enforce the anti-slavery treaties by capturing any dhows. Now, this is, I've seen the word several times, carrying slaves. But with only four ships patrolling a huge area of sea, the British Navy found it hard to enforce the treaties as the ships from France, Spain and Portugal and the United States continued to carry the slaves. Oh my God. God. In 1856, Sultan Majid consolidated his power around the Great African Lake slave trade. And in 1873, Sir John Kirk formed his successor, Sultan Baklish, that a total blockade of Zanzibar was imminent. Baklish reluctantly signed the Anglo-Zanzibari Treaty and abolished the slave trade in the Sultan's territories, closed all slave markets, and protected liberated slaves. And that's 1873, after the American Civil War. My godfather, who, if the Americans weren't using slaves, who were using slaves? I don't know. The relationship between Britain and the German Empire at this time, at the time, the nearest rival colonial power, was formalised in 1890, Helgoland-Zanzibar Treaty, in which Germany agreed to recognise the British protectorate over the islands of Zanzibar and Pemba. In 1890, Zanzibar became the protectorate, not a colony, of Britain. This status meant it continued to be under the sovereign of Sultan Zanzibar. The British Prime Minister Salisbury explained his position. Condition of a protected dependency is more acceptable to half-civilized races, to the half-civilized races, and more suitable for them than direct domination. It is cheaper, simpler, less wounding to their self-esteem, gives them more career as public officials, and spares unnecessary contact with white men. From 1890 to 1913, traditional visors were in charge. Supervisors. They were supervised by advisors appointed by the colonial office. However, in 1913, a switch was made to a system of direct rule through residents, effectively governors, from 1913. The death of the pro-British Sultan Hamid bin Talawanti on the 25th of August 1896, and his successor of Ken bin Baglish, whom the British did not approve, led to the Anglo-Zanzibar War. On the morning of the 27th of August 1896, ships of the Royal Naval destroyed Biet El Kum Palace. A ceasefire was declared 38 minutes later. Amazing. And to this day, the bombardment stands as the shortest war in history. A 38-minute war. Isn't that right? Half an hour war. There's a war declared, and it's so far half an hour later. I love it. Gee, well, that's an interesting thing. Zanzibar Revolution and merger with Tanganyika. So, Tanzania is Tanganyika and Tanzania. On the 17th of December 1960, on the 10th of December 1963, the protectorate had existed over Zanzibar since 1890. It was terminated by the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom did not grant Zanzibar independence as such because the UK had never had sovereignty over Zanzibar. Rather, Zanzibar Act of 1963 of the United Kingdom, the UK ended the protectorate and made provision for full self-government in the Zanzibar as an independent country within the Commonwealth. Upon the protectorate being abolished, Zanzibar became constitutional monarchy under the Sultan. Well, there you go. Isn't that amazing? Shortest war in history. My God. A 38-minute war. However, just a month later, on the 12th of January 1964, Sultan Jasmin bin Abdullah was deposed during the Zanzibar Revolution. Sultan fled to exile, and the Sultan was replaced with the People's Republic of Zanzibar and Pemba, socialist government, led by the Afro-Shansi Party, ASP. Over 20,000 people were killed, and refugees, especially Arabs and Indians, escaped the island as a consequence of the revolution. In April 1964, the Republic merged with Tanganyika, and the Republic of Tanzania and Zanzibar was also renamed, blending the two names, the United Republic of Tanzania, within which Tanzania remains a semi-autonomous region. So Zanzibar is almost a separate country. They just merged. Demographics. So that's interesting. The shortest war in history. You didn't know you'd come across that. In the 2002 census, the most recent census, which results have been reported. The total population of Zanzibar was 994,000, with an annual growth rate of 3.1%. The population of Zanzibar City is the largest, was 205,000. Around two-thirds of the people, 222,000, lived in Unyago, Zanzibar Island, and with most settled in densely populated west. Besides Zanzibar City, other towns on Unyago include Chani, Mambinti, Makawunti, Chawa. I can't pronounce them. Outside of these towns, most of the people live in small villages and are engaged in farming or fishing. Isn't that beautiful? Population of Pemba Island, which is the second island, is 362,000. The largest of these town on this island is Cheikh, with a population of 20,000, and smaller towns of Wit and Monkan. So 20,000, sort of like Glenbrook, Blacksand, Lapstone, that area. Mafia Island and other major islands of Zanzibar are administered by mainland Tanzania and has a total population of 40,000. Ethnic origins. The people of Zanzibar have a diverse ethnic origins. First permanent resident of Zanzibar seem to have been the ancestors of the Bantu, Hamul and Tambutu tribe, who began arriving in the African Great Lakes mainland around AD 1000. They belonged to various mainland ethnic groups, and Zanzibar generally lived in small villages. They did not coalesce to form a larger political unit. No, they're separate things. During Zanzibar's brief period of independence in early 1960s, the major political cleavage was between the Zanzibar Africans, who made approximately 56% of the population, and the Zanzibar Arabs. So, okay, so they were 63, they were briefly separate, and then they merged. There's a revolution. Okay. Who make up 17% of the population today. Zanzibar is inhabited mostly by ethnic Swahili, a Bantu population, a sub-Saharan Africans. There's also a number of Arabs, as well as some ethnic Persian and Indian people. Languages: Zanzibaris speak Swahili, Bantu, and extensively spoken in the Great Lakes regions. Swahili is a de facto national and official language of Tanzania. Many local residents speak Arab, French, and or Italian. Wow. Religion. Zanzibar's population is almost entirely Muslim, with a small Christian minority containing around 20,000 Christians. Other religious groups are represented include Hindus, Jains, and Sikhs. The Anglican Diocese of Zanzibar was founded in 1892. The first bishop of Zanzibar was Charles Smaids, who was translated from his former post as Bishop of Nyasaland. The cathedral, located in Stone Town, Zanzibar City, is a prominent landmark and national heritage assets. My God. It had fallen into poor condition in the late 20th century, but it was fully restored in 2016 at a cost of €1 billion, with a World Heritage Visitor Centre. The restoration was supported by the Tanzanian and Zanzibarian governments. So Tanzania is unitary, but it's got sort of a separate, it's almost a separate country, and overseen by the diocese in partnership with the World Monuments Fund. The restoration of the spire, the clock, and historic Wills organ are still outstanding. Historically, the diocese included mainland locations in Tanganyika. In 1963, it was renamed the Diocese of Zanzibar and Dar es Salaam. 2 years later, in 1965, Dar es Salaam became a separate diocese. The original jurisdiction was renamed the Diocese of Zanzibar and Tanga. In 2001, the mainland links were finally ended and is now known as the Diocese of Zanzibar. The diocese includes parishioners on the neighbouring islands of Pemba. 10 bishops have served the diocese from 1892 to the present day, the Bishop Michael Hadif. It has been part of the province of Tanzania under the Archbishop of All Tanzania, based at Dodoma. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Zanzibar was established in 1980. An apostolic vicariate of Zanzibar had been established in 1906 from a much larger East African jurisdiction. This was suppressed in 1953 when the territory was out of control of the Kenyan Church, but it was restored in 1964 after independence. The Church created a diocese here shortly before Easter in 1980. The Bishop August Shoal, Zanzibar, is part of the Roman Catholic province of Dar es Salaam under the Bishop of Dar es Salaam. Well, there you go. That's very important. Stone Town sounds a great place. I sort of want to visit Zanzibar, but I don't know. You sort of feel you might be smuggled. It might be, rather than having, you know, the females for the sex slaves, they may need quantum physicist slaves. Very bad. Oh, the main mosque, an Anglican zone cathedral, isn't that amazing? Other Christian denominations include the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania, which arrived in Zanzibar in the 1960s, and a wide range of Pentecostal charismatic Christian churches, such as the Tanzanian Assemblies of God, the Free Pentecostal Church of Tanzania, the Evangelical Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal Church of Tanzania, the Victory Church, and the Pentecostal Evangelistic Fellowships of Africa. It sounds a little bit like the Monty Python's various Palestinian fronts they've got. And who's the popular front? Oh, there he is. That's him. That's the popular front sitting over there by himself. I love that story. Okay. The growing in Zanzibar since the 1980s in relation to the economic liberalisation and increased labour migration from mainland Tanzania into the connection with Zanzibar expanding tourist sector. There's also Seventh-day Adventists and Baptist churches, 22,000 people, Christians, and you've got that many, almost 10 people at church. In 2005, there was also an interreligious body called the Joint Committee of Religious Leaders for Peace in Swahili, represented from Muslim institutions and Islamic law courts, religious property commission, education, and the Mufti's office, as well as representatives of Roman Catholics, Anglican and Lutheran Church, places of worship. Places of worship are the predominantly Muslim mosques. There's also Christian churches and temples, Roman Catholic Diocese of Zanzibar, Anglican Church of Zanzibar, Evangelical Lutheran Church. And Assemblies of God. There's too much God, I can't pronounce it all. Government. As a semi-autonomous part of Tanzania, Zanzibar has its own government, known as the Revolutionary Government of Zanzibar. It's made up of the Revolutionary Council and the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives has a similar composition to the National Assembly of Tanzania. 15 members are elected directly from the constituencies to serve 5-year terms. 10 members are appointed by the President of Zanzibar. 15 special seats are for women members of political parties that have representation in the House of Representatives. 6 members serve as ex officio, including all regional commissions and the Attorney Governor. 5 of the 81 members are then elected to represent Zanzibar in the National Assembly. Uyunga has 3 administrative regions, Zanzibar Central, North, Urban West, and Pemba. Concerning the independence and sovereignty of Zanzibar, Tanzania Prime Minister Mizo Pinda said on the July 3rd, 2008, there was, quote, nothing like the sovereignty of Zanzibar in the union government unless the constitution is changed in the future, end quote. It's nothing like the what? Zanzibar House of Representatives members from both the ruling party, the Chama Cha Mundipuzi, and the opposition party, the Civic United Front, disagreed and stood firmly on recognising Zanzibar as a fully autonomous state. Well, there you go. Don't say a thing that you won't get disagreed with. politics, Zanzibar. Zanzibar has a government of national unity, with the president of Zanzibar being Ali Mohamed Shein since the 1st of November 2010. There are many political parties in Zanzibar, but most popular parties are the Chama Cha and the Civic United Front. Since the early 1990s, the political archipelago has been marked by repeated clashes between the two parties. Contested elections in 2000 led to a massacre, oh my god, father, on the 27th of January 2001, according to the Human Rights Watch. The army and police shot crowds and protesters, killing 35 people, wounding more than 600. Those forces accompanying the ruling party officials and militias also went house to house, rampaging, discriminatingly arresting and sexually abusing residents. Approximately 2,000 temporarily fled to Kenya. Violence erupted again in another contested election in 2005, with the CUF claiming that it was a rightful victory and had stolen it from 9 people killed. Following 2005, negotiations between the two parties aiming at the long-term resolution of tensions at the power sharing took place, but they suffered repeated setbacks. The most notable of these took place in April 2008, when the CUF walked away from the negotiating table following a CCM call for the Chacha Chum party for referendum to approve of what had been presented as a done deal on the power sharing agreement. In November 2009, then-presidents of Zanzibar, Amani Abid Karim, met the CUF, this is the United Front, was it the Civic United Front, Secretary General Sheikh Sharif Hamad, at the State House to discuss how Zanzibar, to save Zanzibar from future political turmoil and end the animosity between them. This move was welcomed by many, including the United States. It was the first time since the multi-party system was introduced to Zanzibar that the CFU agreed to recognise Kerm as the legitimate president of Zanzibar. A proposal to amend Zanzibar's constitution to allow rival parties to form governments of national unity was adopted by 66.2% of the voters in the 31st of July 2010. The autonomous status of Zanzibar is viewed as comparable to Hong Kong, as suggested by some scholars, and being recognised as the African Hong Kong. My God. Wow. Isn't that amazing? But China's going to take it over in a few years. Zanzibar is one of the... is geography. Zanzibar is one of the Indian Ocean islands situated on the Swahili coast adjacent to Tanganyika, mainland Tanzania. Wow. That's political stuff. I didn't realise they have the shortest war and butchering each other. The northern tip of Yung and the main island is located 5.72 degrees south and 39.3 degrees east, with the southernmost point another set of degrees. The island is separated from Tanzania mainland by a channel, which at its narrowest point is 36 kilometres across. The island is about 85 kilometres long and 39 kilometres wide, with an area of 1,400 square kilometres. So there are some farms in Australia that big. Yura is mainly low-lying, with its highest point being 120 metres. My God. Yura is characterised by beautiful sandy beaches, fringy coral reefs and reefs that are rich in marine biodiversity, so it's basically it's flat as a turd. The northern tip of Pemba Island is located 4 degrees south, so it's further south. The island is separated from the Tanzanian mainland by a channel 56 kilometres wide. The island is about 67 kilometres long and 23 kilometres wide. It's an area of 958 square kilometres. Pemba is also mainly low-lying, with the highest point being 95 metres. So it's just really... don't expect to climb a mountain there. Climate. The heat of summer, corresponding to the northern Winter is often cooled by strong sea breezes associated with the northeast monsoon. Particularly the northeast coast, being near the equator, the islands are warm all year round. The rainfall regime is between two main seasons, a primary maximum in March, April, May is associated with the northwest southwest monsoon, known looking as Kusi in the Kusi Swali. A second maximum is November, December. The months between receive less rain, with the minimum in July. Wildlife. The main island of Zanzibar, Unguja, has fauna reflecting its connection with the African mainland during the last ice age. Endemic animals with continental relatives include the red cobus, one of Africa's rarest primates, with perhaps only 1,500 existing. I remember their beautiful little monkeys with red faces. Isolated on the island for the past 1,000 years, the cobus is recognised easily 1,000 years. What? I don't quite understand that. Easily 1,000 years, because people rode there 1,000 years. It's recognised as a distinct species with a different coat pattern, calls, food habits from related cobus species on the mainland. The Zanzibar red cobus lives in a wide variety of drier areas of the coastal thickets and coral rag scrubs, as well as mangrove swamps and agricultural areas. About one third of them live in and around the Joanzees forest. The easiest place to see the cobus is farmland adjacent to the reserve. They are accustomed to people, and the low vegetation means they come close to the ground. Rare native animals include the Zanzibar leopard, which is critically endangered and recently described as Zanzibar sylvan gannet. There are no large animals in Uganda. Forested areas in Joni are inhabited by monkeys, bush pigs, small antelopes, African civets, and as shown by camera traps in June 18, the elusive leopard. Various species of mongoose can also be found on the island. There's a wide variety of bird life and a large number of butterflies in the rural area. Pemba. The island is separated from Ireland and the African continents by deep channels and has a correspondingly restricted form reflecting comparative isolation from the mainland. The island is home to the Pemba flying fox. Oh, isn't that cute? That's really cute. I love little Pemba flying fox. So the shortest war in history. Isn't that amazing? The standard of living and health. Page 7. The considerable disparities exist in the standard of living for inhabitants of Pemba and Unguja, as well as disparity between the urban and rural populations. The average annual income is $250. About half the population lives below the poverty line. Despite the relatively high standard of primary health care and education, infant mortality in Zanzibar is 54 every out of every 10,000 live births, which is 10% lower than the rate in Tanzania. Child mortality rate in Zanzibar is 73 out of 1,000 live births, which is 21% lower than the rate in mainland Tanzania. So it's, you know, it's not doing. An estimated 7% of children have acute malnutrition. Oh my god. Life expectancy at birth is 57 years, which is significantly lower than the world average of 67.2. I think Australia's got 80 years. Generally, the prevalence of HIV/AIDS in the population of 15 to 64 is 0.5%, a rate which is much higher in females, 0.9%, and less 0.1% in males. Environment. The north of the island represents elevated volumes of trash in the streets, beaches, and ocean, mostly plastic bottles and other plastics and cigarette butts. There is indiscriminate dumping in residential areas. Medical equipment waste is a particular problem on the island. Oh, yuck. Dear, I had such a beautiful view of Zanzibar. I want to go to Zanzibar. Beautiful black city, you know, the Arabian black stuff. Economy. Ancient pottery implies trade routes with Zanzibar as far back as the time of the ancient Assyrians. traders from the Arabian Peninsula, Persian Gulf regions, and modern-day Iran, especially Shiraz, and West India probably visited Zanzibar as early as the 1st century. They used the monsoon winds to sail across the Indian Ocean to land at the sheltered harbour located at the site of present-day Zanzibar City. The clove, originating from the Mokulian Islands, today in Indonesia, was introduced to Zanzibar by the Omani sultans in the first half of the 19th century. Zanzibar, mainly Pemba Island, was one of the world's leading clove producers, where the annual clove sales have plummeted by 80% since the 1970s. Zanzibar's clove industry has been crippled by a fast-moving global market international competition, the hangover from Tanzania's failed experiment with socialism in the 1960s and 70s. When the government controlled the clove prices and exports, Zanzibar now ranks a distant third, with Indonesia supplying 70% of the world's cloves compared to Zanzibar's 7%. Oh gee, they've cloved up. Zanzibar exports spices, seaweeds, and fine raffia. Besides Zanzibar State Trading Corporation, Zanzibar Spice Limited is known as 1001 Organic. It's the biggest organic spice exporter from Zanzibar. Zanzibar also has a large fishing and a dugout, which is really, really good to do. There's that ship, the H. Oh, I wish I could remember what it was. The ship, I keep on seeing the H something or other. Let's see if I can remember it. The government of Zanzibar legalized Foreign Exchange Bureau on the island before mainland Tanzania moved to do so. The effect was to increase the availability of consumer commodities. The government has also established a free port area, which provides the following benefits: contribution to economic diversification and providing a window for free trade, as well as stimulating the establishment of support services administration and a regime that imports, exports, and warehouses general merchandise, adequate storage facilities and other infrastructures to cater for effective competition and trade, the creation of an efficient management system for effective re-exportation of goods. The island's manufacturing sector is limited mainly to import substitution industries such as cigarettes, shoes, processed agricultural products. In 1992, the government designated two export producing zones and encouraged the development of offshore financial services. Zanzibar still imports much of its staple requirements, petroleum products and manufactured articles. There is a possibility of oil available in Zanzibar on the island of Pemba. Efforts have been made by the Tanzanian government and Zanzibar Revolutionary Government to exploit what could be the most significant discoveries in recent memory. Oil would help boost the economy of Zanzibar, but there have been disagreements about the dividends between Tanzania and Zanzibar. The later claimed the oil should be excluded from union matters. In 2007, a Norwegian consultancy firm went to Zanzibar to determine how the region could develop its oil potential. The firm recommended that Zanzibar follow the economist Herna del Sotopolo's ideas about the formalisation of property rights for the persons living on the ancestral lands, for which they will probably have to be do not have legal deed. Gee, that sounds a bit like Mabo. Tourism. In 1984, fewer than 20,000 tourists visited Zanzibar. Five times more visitors travelled to the island in 2000. The events of September 11, 2001 reduced the inflow of tourists, which was restored only after 2004. Zanzibar has at least 6,200 beds across six classes of accommodation. However, there's a disproportionately large number of ungraded one- or two-star categories. Oh, God. Energy. The energy sector in Zanzibar consists of unreliable electrical power, petroleum and petroleum products. It's also supplemented by firewood and related products. Coal and gas are rarely used for either domestic and industrial purposes. Yuga, Zanzibar Island, gets most of its electrical power from mainland Tanzania through a 39-kilometre, 100-megawatt submarine cable from Ras Kurma near Desam, or Ras Afumba in Yuga. Laying the cable began in 2012 by the Fiskas Corporation of Japan. It was funded by a 28.8 $1 million US dollar grant from the United States through the Millennium Challenge Program. The cable came operational on the 13th of April 2013. The previous 45 megawatt cable, which was seldom maintained, was completed by Norway in 1980. Since 2010, Pember Island has had a 75-kilometre, 25-megawatt subsea cable linked directly to the mainland, Tanzania. The cable project was financed through a 45 million euro grant from Norway and contributions of 8 million euros from the Zanzibar government and 4 million euros from the Tanzanian national government. The project ended years of dependence on unreliable, erratic diesel generation subject to frequent power cuts. Only about 20% of the cable's capacity has been used in January 2011, so it's anticipated the cable will meet the island's need for the next 20 to 25 years. Between 70 and 75% of the electricity generated is used domestically, while less than 20% is used industrially. Fuel, wood, charcoal, kerosene are widely used as sources of energy for cooking and lighting the most rural and urban areas. The consumption capacity of petroleum, gas, oil, kerosene, and industrial diesel oil is increasing annually, going from a total of 5,650 tons in 77 to 7,500 tons in 99. 20 years, 97, oh, in 2 years, it's really gone up. From the 21st of May, in June 2008, Hugo suffered a major failure of the electricity system, which left the island without electrical service and mostly dependent on diesel generation. The failure originated in mainland Tanzania. Another blackout happened on the 10th of September 2009 to 23rd of March 2010, caused by a problem with the submarine cable that formerly supplied the electricity from the mainland Tanzania. This led to a serious shock to Uganda's fragile economy, which is heavily dependent on foreign tourism. Okay, I'm going to stop that now and see how it goes from here. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.